B-Pod Studios.
All right, it's 3 o'clock on the Mike Misnelli Show. So much to talk about today. Our heads are spinning. It's a trading deadline. The NBA kind of closing down. Have the Sixers made the final move? And is the final move Markelle Fultz finally moved out of town? The Phillies making big news. And they get the, probably the best catcher in baseball, J.H.E. Realmuto. And they give away their top prospect in Sixto Sanchez. So the 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corp Lee's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party tray is every bit as good. Before we introduce our next guest, Corey Simon, NBC Sports Philadelphia, who follows the Phillies and covers the Phillies for the network. Here's my lineup. Tyrone, you ready? Let's see if Corey agrees with this. Hernandez leads off. He's still there. He's the holdover.
Okay.
He's the only leadoff guy. Realmuto, who hit second a lot last year, led off, in fact, for the Marlins a lot, but mostly hit third, is my number two hitter. Harper, three spot.
Right in the three hole.
Hoskins, four. McCutchen, five. Herrera, six. Franco in the seventh spot, which is an RBI spot. Segura hits eighth. And then your pitcher. Let's bring in the man who covers the Phils for NBC Sports Philadelphia, Corey Simon. Corey, what'd you think of the deal?
Well, I thought this was a very good trade. In terms of the lineup that you just presented, I actually was just writing about this, and mine's pretty similar. The only difference I had was Segura leading off and Cesar Hernandez at the bottom of the order.
Okay, that could happen. That's all right by me.
You know, adding a guy like JT Realmuto, you're taking a bottom of the order bat in your catcher and you're turning it into a top of the order bat. And there's just very few catchers in baseball that can hit in the top half of your batting order. It's not just that Realmuto is the best catcher in baseball. It's that he's really the only catcher in baseball you can say has all five tools. He can hit for average. He can hit for power. And I think he's going to hit for much more power in Philadelphia than he did in Miami. He's the fastest base running everyday catcher. His arm is strong. He's a good defender. He's a better receiver than Jorge Alfaro. You know, I know that Jorge Alfaro graded out positively in terms of pitch framing, but Alfaro's receiving in terms of blocking the ball, and I'm not talking about balls in the dirt. I'm talking about pitches on the outside corner, pitches high in the zone. It left much to be desired, and JT Realmuto doesn't give you those issues. So I think this is a very good trade. It cost the Phillies a lot. Sixto Sanchez is their top prospect for a reason. But, you know, the basis of my argument for thinking this is a good trade is that if Sixto Sanchez were to encounter elbow issues again this season, like he did in 2018, when his season ended in June and then a setback prevented him from pitching in the Arizona Fall League, if that were to happen again, his value would plummet. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he'd have no value, but he wouldn't be able to bring you back a player the caliber of JT Realmuto. So the fact that you were able to get this deal done now, especially if they can bring a Harper or Machado in after that, it might make the Phillies a team to beat in the National League East.
Yes, and that is also contingent on who that Harper Machado thing. But let's talk about who they gave up. A lot of people think, did they give up too much here with Sixto Sanchez and his starting catcher Alfaro, who had a lot of defensive liabilities, but also the international bonus slot, which a lot of teams want these days?
I don't think it was too much. I mean, I think a lot of this fan base overrates Jorge Alfaro a little bit, and I think that Sixto Sanchez, because his is the name that Phillies fans have been hearing for so long in terms of their prospects, they grew this attachment to him. But if you're in a win-now mode, and especially if you're able to add a Harper and Machado, this move makes absolute sense. Some people think that 2 years isn't enough club control to make this trade, 2 years of JT Realmuto, but it might be. I mean, he's making $5.9 million this season. Next year is his final arbitration year. That'll probably raise him up to like $10 to $12 million. But I would also think that the Phillies have designs of extending him. You don't make a trade like this to let a guy like that walk away easily after two seasons. So I don't think you can look at it as just, oh, you're only getting a couple years of this guy. You might be getting every year of his prime. And at 27 years old, he's fully in his prime right now.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about his defensive prowess and the way he handles the pitching staff. Because to me, I look at it like he could turn these mediocre 3-4-5s into a little better than mediocre. I'm not that high on him, but a good catcher can tune those guys up a little bit.
You know, observing him over the years in all the National League East games, when they come here, when the Phillies go there, he has, you know, taken a lot of those young pitchers in Miami under his wing. He is a difference maker behind the plate in terms of his throwing arm, his receiving. I think that it's going to just take the Phillies pitching staff to a slightly higher level. And, you know, you look at the offensive component of it. I've been writing recently that Realmuto is really not the kind of guy you can judge based on the numbers that he put up the last couple of years. Because the numbers he put up the last couple of years, while they were already very good, they came in the biggest ballpark in all of baseball. He hit 21 home runs last year. At a place like CBP, I think he could get closer to 30. In fact, I pulled up his spray chart from last year. All the deep flyouts and deep lineouts he had at Marlins Park, there were between 15 and 20 balls that he hit last season that would have been extra base hits at Citizens Bank Park, yet instead were outs. So I think you have to take that into account. You have to look at his road splits. The fact that on the road last season, he had nearly a 900 OPS. On the road, he gave you the offensive production of a Francisco Lindor or a Xander Bogaerts, really upper echelon players. And I think that's what the Phillies were looking at. It's not just what he's done. It's what he's capable of doing in a better ballpark, in a better lineup, as he enters the best years of his career.
Talking to Corey Simon, covers the Phillies for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Corey, there are two ways you can look at this. One is that getting Real Muto is a consolation prize. Like, if they strike out on the other ones, they can say, well, at least we got this guy and he's going to help us. But it's also could be a precursor to a really big splash that they're trying to make. So do you believe this is the precursor to getting the Harper Machado, or is it the consolation prize?
Well, I'll say this. Bryce Harper loves him some JT Real Muto. He made that apparent last year at the All-Star game. He made that apparent after the trade deadline last season when Real Muto had a game-winning hit against the Nationals. And in the clubhouse after the game, Harper said, you know, if that guy was on our side, we would have won the game tonight. That's pretty telling. I think that this is an indication that the Phillies are firmly in win-now mode. And I don't think it's going to stop them from continuing to pursue Machado or Harper. I maintain that I think they're going to land one of them. I think the preference is Machado, but if Machado and agent Dan Lozano continue to dilly-dally and just wait and wait and wait and see if a better offer materializes, perhaps the Phillies pivot and more aggressively go after Harper. I do think they're going to end up with one of them. And, you know, thinking about what this lineup would look like with one of Machado or Harper in addition to Real Muto, that's the deepest lineup in the National League if they can put that together. That's an American League-style lineup. And, you know, it significantly raises the ceiling of this team. Coming into this week, the Phillies were viewed as a team that could win between, like, 80 to 84 games. I think that the Real Muto move alone adds about 3 wins conservatively. And obviously getting a Harper and Machado would push that up by 4 or 5 more, if not more.
Can this thing extend into spring training with these two guys?
Yeah, sure could. I mean, Jake Arrieta signed last year on March 11th. I don't think that it's going to, but if Machado and Harper continue to receive offers that they deem unworthy, and what I mean by unworthy is, you know, when the offseason began, we expected each player was going to exceed $300 million. It doesn't appear that they've been able to get offers that are in that vicinity. So if they continue to wait and they think that they can get their money, you know, it only takes one team. And for example, last year, the Padres with Eric Hosmer, not that Hosmer is nearly the caliber of player or Harper or Machado, he only had one team in the mix for him, and that was the Padres. And the Padres still gave him a ton of money, $144 million. So sometimes even when there's only one or two teams, you still see a team kind of bid against itself. I think that's what Scott Boras and Dan Lozano are trying to do with their clients, is just wait it out for the best possible offer. I just don't think that any team's going to be able to outbid the Phillies. I still don't. So, you know.
All right. Well, I like to hear that. I like to hear that. Now, let's talk about the last thing, the pitching. Are they still in the market to add a starter that can replace one of those three?
I don't know that. I don't expect the Phillies to go hard after Dallas Keuchel, who is the best available starting pitcher remaining. There are some lower tier options like a Gio Gonzalez you might be able to get on a 1-year deal. I think the Phillies will add depth to their rotation, because right now you're looking at the 5 from last season with Jared Eichhoff, but not much of reliability behind that. And I just don't know if the Phillies can get through an entire season with a combination of those 6 guys. But again, when you're in win now mode like that, the rotation right now is probably your weakness. So it would make sense to address it in some way. I just don't see Dallas Keuchel, who's the biggest name out there. I don't see that happening.
All right, listen, I know you have your head buried in baseball, but I got to ask you this question about the Sixers now that the trading deadline has passed and they added some bench players and a quality starter. I'll ask you the same question I've been asking the audience. At the end of today, will we be able to say the Sixers will play the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals?
You know, I don't know, because the Raptors did get Marc Gasol today, which is that's a big addition for them, too. But I love what the Sixers have done this week. And to be able to get a first-round pick for Markelle Fultz, I was stunned by that. And it almost improves what they traded for Tobias Harris, because the first-round pick the Sixers gave the Clippers that is their own, that's canceled out by getting this Thunder pick. So it's almost like you traded one fewer first to get Tobias Harris. Love what Elton Brand's done these last couple days, and really these last couple months. Sixers, I mean, that's the most exciting Eastern Conference team right now. They've moved ahead of the Celtics, on par with the Raptors and Bucks. We'll see.
All right. Corey, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, Mike.
There he is, Corey Seidman, covering the Phillies. NBC Sports Philadelphia. So our lineups are similar. He's got Segura leading off. I've got Hernandez leading off. Wouldn't matter to me. They put him in the eighth spot. But we're good with 2 through 7. Real Muto hitting 2. Harper, Hoskins, McCutcheon, Herrera, Franco.
I'm starting to get a little bit excited about baseball.
Gabe, we don't need you. I'm coming down. I'm going to make the lineup.
You'll mess that up. Now, real fast with the NBA, there's still deals coming down. Now, Toronto has moved Greg Monroe to Brooklyn, who's in the playoff mix for a second-round pick. So there's still going to be trades coming out over the next.
Toronto moved Greg Monroe to Brooklyn.
Yeah, for a pick. Since they've added a center. I don't know, but yeah, that helps Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That might be a first-round matchup for the Sixers. They've had trouble with Brooklyn in a 3-6.
Not now.
Nah, they smoke them now.
Not now. I have problems with them now. Kevin in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Mike, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Kev?
I'm very excited about what the Sixers are doing. I don't want to throw water on your fire, you know, but can we just pump the brakes a little bit?
No, we cannot pump the brakes. We cannot pump the brakes. I'm going full bore here. And logically, when I'm looking at it, they have the best team.
Well, I just like to take one game at a time
Oh, stop. One game at a time. What are you, a coach? Come on. You're a fan. Go for it. Have a little fun.
Yeah, I know, Mike. But, you know, I just like to, you know, win some games or get some good teams first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. They still got to win some games. What's the best you can do? You have to stock your lineup the best you know how, right? Have they stocked their lineup? Have they stocked their bench?
Yes, they have. I said I'm very excited about it.
Okay.
You know, but I just like to just, you know, let this team gel, you know.
Yeah, they were on pace for 54 games with T.J. McConnell and Jonah Bolden playing 20 minutes. Now, what are they now?
Yeah, I know.
Come on, Kevin. Join with me. They're getting close to 60.
Yeah, okay, Mike, but I just like, you know, let's just see them win some games.
All right, new NBA odds have just been posted in Vegas. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Celtics, Raptors, Bucks, Sixers tied for the top spot at 9-1.
Wow.
How you feeling now?
Wow. Yeah, okay. All right, Mike. We'll see.
All right, Kevin. Pour yourself a little drink, a little sippy drink, and savor it.
All right? Mike. Yeah, man.
Thanks. All right, brother. You got it. Yes, sir. A little Remy XO. Savor this.
Enjoy it.
Exactly. A little buka with a couple coffee beans. And light them. Tom in Deptford, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
I'm going for the straight vodka, Mike.
Vodka, you can't sip the vodka. Mike. You got to sip a nice bourbon. A nice cognac.
So cigars, cognac, bring it on. I want an NBA championship. I want a baseball championship. I want it all, Mike. I waited too long under the next 60 Eagles championship. But, Mike, let me just say this about this team now. What has now happened is, and Tyrone, they got long and physical now. And when you get into the playoffs and your bench joins up, because guess what? Then they're going to be 6, 7, 8. That's it. TJ ain't going to see the light of day. He ain't even going to get to the scorer's table if they get to the second or third round. But won't want either. So you need guys at around 8 or 9. That's it. And now they're physical enough and they're long enough. And they're bigger. That's all they're going to need. Because the bench is definitely going to shorten now, for sure. And again, do I think the one more move's coming? Sure. I think tomorrow's going to be a move, or later tonight. You know, one of them guys they're on the waiver wire or whatever like that. But I definitely think that they're going to make one more move. But I like it, dude. I like they're big. I mean, this guy Harris, he's 6'9".
Yes, he is.
I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, he's like a Kevin Durant almost. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a 6'9", 3-point shooter who can play the perfect stretch guys, four. Today's stretch four is Tobias Harris.
But how many guys can do? How many guys are that big at that position and then can shoot like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be hard to defend. I don't care what anybody says.
Every weakness they had, they filled in a crack.
Yeah, let me get a Phillies point in, Mike.
All right.
Just from Muto trade, I mean, if you pop this stuff, he can hit anywhere. I mean, because he's that good. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that now, I think Reese gets up to like, and if they commit, I think Reese can hit 40 or 50 a year. in this ballpark. I mean, that's he needs somebody to protect him in the lineup, and this guy is perfect for that.
I totally agree. You're talking about, I'm looking at their 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters, right? Realmuto 20, Harper 45, Hoskins 40, McCutchen 20. All right, add those up. That's a lot of bombs.
Right, and Reese would strike them out a lot because the pitchers gave him their best because he didn't have anybody in front of him or in back of him. So he, you know what I mean? He always would try to get. So now he's going to cut that down, and now he's going to create more RBI situations. It's a great move all around. You know what? Prospects are prospects. I'm so tired of hearing about prospects. Look at Marco Fultz. There's our prospect of a number one pick, and what is he? I mean, tell me what he turned out to be. A complete head.
Well, listen, I'm sure that didn't please them, that they had to give away a number one pick, and it didn't work out.
Look what he got back for him.
Well, they got a lousy first rounder, a second rounder, which means nothing, and Jonathan Simmons, who doesn't play.
Was you ever going to think that they were going to get more than that? I'll take that.
I thought maybe they can get a player who was a little better than Jonathan Simmons.
Come on, Mike. He's a cheerleader now. If I see him one more time with a hoodie on, the champion of defense will pop on.
He needed a change, and he got it. And now he's going to Orlando, where he can. It's this perfect city for him. No pressure. Right? He can go to Disney and fool around.
Yeah.
He looks like a Disney type of kid.
Yeah, it's the only landlocked city in that state. Mm-hmm. I put state in quotes.
Yeah. Well, you're not a big Florida fan?
Well, it's a different planet.
It's just
planet
everything
there.
Crazy.
Everything weird.
Happens in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at least have a beach. You don't have the courtesy to have a beach, Orlando?
Yeah.
I don't need you. I don't need you. If you don't have a beach and I'm in that state, I don't need you.
That's true. You go to Florida, you don't get a beach out of it.
I mean, come on. So you got all that.
That's why they built Orlando into, their man-made thing.
Yeah. That's why he is able to buy that whole Disney thing for $5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was trying to go to Orlando on a golf trip in the next couple weeks. Couldn't get in.
Really?
Yeah. Couldn't get a tee time.
Well, that stinks.
Believe that? In this day and age, the only tee times they had available on a golf trip, mind you, was after 2:50. I went after 2:50. It gets dark at 6.
The nerve.
Yeah, come on.
You squeeze in 18 in 2.5 hours.
Did you tell them who you are?
Call back is Michael Gary rather than Missanelli.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm telling you. I called today. The lady called me back. She said, "Why don't we get this package? About X amount for golfer, 3-room villa, the whole bit." Cool. So I call today and I'm trying to make. Well, we don't make tee times for any of those days you want, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. After 2:50, I mean, we don't usually send people out unless they want to go out because they can't finish 18. Cancel me out. I guess I'm staying here in the cold.
No Mickey Mouse for you.
Nope. No, I wouldn't have gone to see him anyway. 610-632-0975. Real Muto 20, Harper 45, Hoskins 40, McCutchen 20, Franco 15. 140 bombs. Your starting lineup.
I think you can up that in this park for Real Muto. He hit, 21 in that cavern? I think he'll hit 30 here.
Joe in West Philly. Joe, you're on the 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, Mikey Miss?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? Real quick, Mike, I've been listening to you since you've been on Philadelphia Airways. It's got to be like 15, going on 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best format I heard you in, man. Your man Tyrone, he seemed like the super sports fan, man, who got his dream job. Hey, man, like you're living his dreams. You know what I mean?
Definitely. You living a dream, Tyrone?
Yeah, man.
I love
my job.
I know that's right. I know that's right. I feel that, man. I feel that, yo. I feel that in your spirit, yo. I see you got the sports honey badly with all the hip, trendy stuff and all
that. I see Tyrone running for president one day.
Yeah, man. I like how your show has evolved, man. I really like how you evolved.
Thank you.
Over these years, knocking heads with these young people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hear so much one-way stuff over the years. You know, it's different thoughts, different people, you know what I mean, women, all that, you know what I mean, whatever. It's more 2019, I dig it. But with the Sixers, I want to say, who is the sixth man? Like, if they don't do anything more, who is that?
First guy off the bench?
Yeah.
First guy off the bench is probably Scott, who plays the four. And then they'll bring in Boban with him on a wholesale. So they'll rest two guys with Scott and Boban. You know how he likes to sub 6 minutes in? Yeah. His analytics say you substitute 6 minutes in, you save your guys at the end.
Definitely. What about the buyouts? Ain't the buyouts still out?
Well, we're still waiting to hear. Still waiting to hear on the buyouts. Now, they traded him to Orlando. I thought maybe Ross coming back would have been a good return for Fultz, but they didn't get Ross. So we'll see what happens if they buy him out.
Exactly. So basically, any of these buyouts is coming here to play major, you know, try to play in minutes. It's not like they're coming here to fill out a roster. Anybody would be coming here is coming here to, you know, play minutes.
Absolutely. Filling in little gaps with caulk. Exactly. You know, a lot of fissures in the stone. They're filling them in now.
Right. Like you say, they're pushing them back. And they're pushing them back because guys is really leapfrogging. I mean, you can bring a guy to hit a leapfrog to that sixth spot.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. See, the bench guys they added pushed the guys that had to play too many minutes back on the rotation.
And can I say one more thing?
Yes, sir.
Covington and Dario. Yeah, when Dario was here, when he used to miss so many three pointers to bust open games or wide open. I mean, I used to clank. Yeah. And now I see this guy. I mean, people don't quote on because they're not household names and things like that. But I mean, they're waiting to see this guy or hear this guy out there bombing away at three pointers like Dario used to clank all day. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could have bust a whole lot of games.
Yeah, Tobias Harris gonna make the shots that Dario couldn't make. Dario was real simple why he wouldn't make shots. His legs look dead half the time. And he never got enough lift, never got enough oomph. And he was short all the time. And that's just legs.
And that's still happening out there in Minnesota.
Is it?
Yep, and he's playing less minutes. The legs still look dead.
I'm telling you, the guy got bottom heavy. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show back after this.
Moves being made. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. Sixers are trading Markelle Fultz to the Orlando Magic for Jonathan Simmons, a first rounder and a second round pick. You can keep it locked into the Fanatic for all of your latest breaking Sixers news. The Phillies and Miami are in agreement on a trade that sends all-star catcher JT Realmuto to the Phillies for catcher Jorge Alfaro, pitching prospects Sixto Sanchez and Will Stewart, and an international business bonus slot. In other baseball news, Hall of Fame outfielder Frank Robinson, the first black manager in Major League Baseball, has died at 83. Flyers will look for win number 9 tonight when they welcome the Kings to town. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Help secure your families tomorrow with USAA life insurance for less than you may think. Visit USAA.com, provided by USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Lakers and Ellis Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank Robinson, Hall of Famer, passed away. And Frank Robinson was obviously a great player, but he was probably the second best player to ever try to manage. Great players don't manage.
Right.
They either have no interest in it or they have no patience for players that can't do it like they did. So Ted Williams was the greatest player who tried to manage. And Frank Robinson was second.
And Frank was in it forever.
Yeah, he managed the Orioles for a really long time. And I actually did a story when I was back in my journalism days when Cal Ripken, the big story was whether Cal Ripken was ever going to step aside from the streak. And at that time, he was really struggling. He was hurting the team. So they sent me as the guinea pig down there to do the story. and I go to Baltimore, and I've got to ask a bunch of people about this Cal Ripken thing, whether he's being selfish, insisting he's going to stay in the lineup and whatever. So first guy I encounter is Cal Sr., who's the third base coach for the Orioles.
Yeah.
I try to get into a conversation with him about this. He F-bombed me up and down the locker room. Like, F-bombs were following me. Like, he was out of the room, and still F-bombs were following me from this guy. This guy was one of the most miserable dudes I've ever met in my life in sports.
You've told me about him not being a good guy.
He wanted nothing to do with it, and he was ready to fight me because I was asking questions about it. So finally, I go to Frank, and he goes, listen, I'm going to tell you something, and you print it because this is the way it is. I am not going to be the manager who sits Cal Ripken down to break the streak. So it's simple as that. End of story. That's my statement.
There you go.
There's no controversy for me, because as long as I'm the manager, he's in the lineup every day, because I don't have the guts to bench him.
He kept it real with you.
He kept it real.
He kept it real.
Yeah. Now, as fate would have it, when the streak was finally broken, because Cal had to be in on it, and he finally decided, all right, I'm going to take a day off. Guess who the starting third baseman was when he decided to take that day off?
Nah, I already know the answer.
You know the answer?
I do know
it's
the answer.
It's Ryan Minor, the former Sixer draft pick.
Who you said couldn't play.
Couldn't play.
Yeah, he ends
up. In basketball, he ended up replacing Cal Ripken, as fate would have it. And he didn't last long with the Orioles, so that was the end of that. Anyway, it's funny how things clash. Thomas and Broomall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Thomas?
Good. I wanted to talk about the Real Muto trade.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a huge move. I mean, I don't know if it helps us by getting, you know, if we get Harper from this. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, this team is better now than they were years, you know, last year and years before that. You know, I think the Sixers and Phillies are doing great work. You know, they're making good trades. They're improving their team. I just feel like, you know, 2019 is going to be a huge year for Philadelphia sports, just like the Eagles winning the Super Bowl last year.
I hope you're right. Here are the little things that bug me a little bit, because the Phillies are focused on the subplots to gain these guys. Like a couple weeks ago, they hired the guy as an infield instructor, the guy who was with the Orioles when Manny Machado broke in with the Orioles, right? Now the Real Muto, because Harper apparently likes him and has great respect for him. Yeah, you know, to me, put some coin down on the table, all right?
Yeah,
instead of dilly-dallying with all this other stuff, put some coin on the table.
Yeah, and I think it's sad that, you know, the NBA trade deadline just ended, and neither Harper or Machado signed. You know, and it's crazy how long it's taking, but I feel like, you know, we're better than Atlanta just by a tad. But it's like you're waiting for Harper, like you're waiting for your friend to jump off a cliff in a pond of water. You know, let's go. Come on. Like,
well, you know, listen, they have control unless the Phillies take the control out of their hands. And the only way to do that is you overpay. Now, apparently they don't want to do that.
I get that. All right, thanks.
All right, man. You got it. Let's go, Scott, calling from the PA Turnpike. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's going on, Scott?
Not too much. I wanted to call about the Jonathan Simmons pickup.
Uh-huh.
I know it sounds kind of like a wash just to get rid of Markel, but Simmons has got a really crazy story of how he even got into the league. And I remember watching him on the Spurs when Kawhi went down in that finals. The Spurs got beat up pretty bad, but I think Simmons ended up averaging about 17-4-4 against the Warriors.
In the playoff series?
Yeah, in the playoff series, huh. In the Western Conference Finals, after they beat Houston in seven games, the Spurs that year, that was the 73-9 when Kawhi went down with Zaza Pachulia's injury thing.
I got his playoff totals right here. He averaged, in 2016-17, 10.5 per game.
Right, but I'm saying in that finals after Kawhi went down, all I'm saying is I think Simmons is a guy that if we don't get Wesley Matthews, I don't think he's a wash. I think he's a guy who can step up and play. He's 29 years old. He's got a handful of kids. He's a family guy. He's a real professional. And I think even his journey to get into the NBA, I don't think he's a scrub, is all I'm trying to say.
Okay, no, it's good. I mean, they were obviously down on him because they cut his playing time significantly this year. I don't really know what that's about, but we'll see.
Yeah.
He's the curiosity to me. I really haven't really paid that much attention to Jonathan Simmons.
Yeah. But I'm excited about this team, man. All the way top to bottom. Looking at the starting lineup, obviously, we have a really great starting lineup. I was worried about the bench, but then they make this move with Ennis and, you know, bringing these other guys in. I mean, this is really, really shaping up to be the team to go after the Eastern Conference Finals for sure.
Yeah, I like it. We're feeling better today than we did yesterday, and it looks like they're done. We're not hearing any more buzz. And, you know, well, up until 4 o'clock, we'll probably, the buzz will probably end. But as we stand right now, the Sixers have transformed their starting lineup and their bench. And their starting lineup is Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid. Pretty good five. Their bench, in this order, I believe it'll be in this order of substitution. Mike Scott, the big Boban, James Ennis, Jonathan Simmons, TJ Bolden, and either Amir or Furkan, whoever they decide to dress.
And now Zach Lowe's believing that it'll be between the Pistons and the Sixers for Wayne Ellington, who was bought out by the Suns.
Uh-huh. Black Korver.
Black Korver's in the mix.
Black Korver in the mix.
So Black Korver's in the mix. Cantor was just released. I don't know if the Sixers have any interest in him. They don't have it.
And yeah, they got Boban now.
And
so.
Now there's rumors about Wes Matthews being bought out. That hasn't happened yet.
See, that would be the guy I'd want.
But the tough part is, with the Pacers, he would start.
And they so would the make Pacers are rumored to go be going for him.
Yeah, because of Oladipo.
The Pacers are done.
Right, but they're still going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he's thinking about a free agency situation.
Uh-huh.
If he starts for the Pacers, does he end up with more money than coming off the bench for the Sixers?
Well, what do you want to do? You want to play to win something, or you want to go to Indianapolis?
I want to make $10 million next year.
Is that what you want to do?
I want to make $10 million.
You want to play for a championship once in your life? You join this team to play the Golden State Warriors in a 7-game series? That's not going to be the thrill of your life?
It's a good point. That's going to have to be the sell job coming up.
All right.
When he's bought out.
610-632-0975. Bag your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.346, Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Guy who emailed me did a numbers evaluation for these acquisitions and who they let go. I got to find it because he's got actually who they let go with a higher point value than who they acquired. And I'll try to set this up on how he phrased it. But
for the Sixers?
Yeah, he's saying the Sixers actually lost.
What?
They lost out by a couple points if you put a point system on it.
What?
I'll give you the point system coming up in a couple of minutes.
Wesley Matthews, according to Shams, to the Pacers.
Oh, so they missed out on Wesley Matthews.
Yeah. So he's thinking about his money, not about winning.
All right.
Can't make a guy not care about his money, I guess.
Well, it's got to be Richardson then. Or Simmons. Jonathan Simmons.
Yeah, unless they get Ellington.
Yeah. All right, let's go Walter, Mount Carmel. Walter, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Walter.
Michael.
What's up, Walter?
Tyrone, Natalie. I am so happy. I am so happy today. Two big trades in one day. That doesn't happen.
About that. Philadelphia, king of the sports world.
God, I love it. I love it. You know, officially, the process is dead.
Process is over.
From the process to talking about playing the Warriors.
Yes. Now, do you believe, I asked the question at the start. At the end of today, will we be able to say the Sixers will play the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals?
That's right.
You're saying yes to that. Yes.
Mike. I looked this up. 1967, the Sixers won the championship. Who did they beat? The Warriors. My God. Oh, the coal region is happy up here.
Oh, that's awesome.
You have so many fans up here.
That's awesome.
I wasn't going to call you, but believe it, three people called me.
Really? Three people up there in the Poconos?
In the coal region. Beautiful. Right by Shenandoah.
Okay, right by Shenandoah.
Shenandoah Masters happy.
Uh-huh. All right, buddy. Listen, hey, you keep the excitement rolling up there, huh?
Give me one second. Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Shenandoah, do you know there was a owner of the Eagles was born in Shenandoah, Jerry Wallman.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
1963.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. Shenandoah has a lot to do with the Philly sports.
All right, Walter. You take care now. All right?
All right.
All right, buddy.
See you around.
There you go. Bye-bye. Look at that. We got the old-timers in the Poconos loving it.
Him and Masher. Got to get up there sometime.
You know, the winter's not over. Maybe I can take I'm not going to ski. A ski-ish trip. I'll go
to
the
lodge. What about snow tubing? We can go snow tube.
Yeah, get up there and spend time with the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, I found this email. Thomas sends it in. He said, I am both excited and disappointed at the same time with the Swaspin acquisition. So I decided to line up what we lost and what we gained and apply a value from 1 to 10 to each piece on each side of the deals. Now, I think his point system is way off, but here it is. Dario Saric, 5. Robert Covington, 5. Wilson Chandler, 4. Mike Muscala, 4. Landry Shamet, 6. Markel Fultz, 1. 2 first-round picks, 10. 3
10?
Yeah, he's adding them. 5 apiece.
Yeah, no, you can't.
3 second-round picks, 3. Cash, 1. For a total of 39.
Uh-huh.
Received. Jimmy Butler, 8. Tobias Harris, 7. Boban, 5. Mike Scott, 4. Jonathan Simmons, 2. James Ennis, 2. Ennis is higher than a 2. Malachi Richardson, 1. Of course, he's no longer there. First round pick, 5. 3 second round picks, 3. Total, 37. So he says what we lost was better than what we received, which is like, you can't look at it on a point total. You got to look at it what they lacked. You're giving me those lost players. They lacked what the Sixers tried to fill at this trading deadline. So you can't possibly come out with more points with the players that they lost than the players that you received.
He also doesn't understand the NBA. Using his stupid point system, LeBron's a 10, okay? So that means if a team traded him 4 2s and 1 3 for LeBron, they would lose the trade if they got LeBron. Using that system.
Yeah, you can't do that
in basketball.
You can't put it on a point system. You got to look at what the guy does for your team that was lacking on your team before that kept you down and kept you from being the number one seed in the East. And right now they've added enough players that you can conceivably say they've added enough players to be considered the number one team in the East. Now, I know Toronto, they're all gaga. They got Marc Gasol. I get it. Milwaukee's all gaga. They got Mirotic. I get it. So we'll see where it comes down to. The big clash. Let's go to John in South Philly. Let's go to Tom in Berlin. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey. Tom.
Hey, Mike, Nat, Ty. Love you.
What's
guys.
Up, buddy?
Nothing much. Just want to talk about the Sixers lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in attendance for the Raptors game Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just feel it was deflated. And I knew we needed something else.
That's why I walked out.
Yeah.
I was there. Third quarter, I was at the giggy.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you know how it felt, and we needed to do something else.
Yeah.
I look at this lineup we're putting out tomorrow night against the Nuggets. Moses Malone's retiring his jersey. It's going to be a good atmosphere. I think they really came through.
Gee, I wonder if AI is going to be around to ring the bell again.
Ooh, yeah.
How about AI comes out with Lauren Hart, and they do a duet of God Bless America, AI singing.
And look, and Tobias Harris, this new guy we got, his first three tests are the Nuggets, the Lakers, and then we got the Celtics right before the break. So, I don't know. I think this is going to be a nice little test here.
I think it's going to be great, man. I think the excitement level. I'm telling you, they ought to commingle two sports now. The Flyers and the Flyers looking up with the winning streak, looking for 9 tonight. Sixers doing what they did. Commingle. Yeah, bring Lou Nolan in. The Pico bell ring. And AI walks out with Lauren Hart. Oh,
that's a violation.
That's tremendous. It's a tremendous blend.
Yeah, and I'm young too, so I'm spoiled with all this going on right now. And I just love what I'm seeing with the Phillies and Sixers. Can't complain
about it. All right, buddy. You got it. Franklin walking with Gritty.
That would be a beautiful sight.
I'll actually look like that.
I want to see Franklin and Gritty together.
That would
finally
maybe get the peace because, you know, people are upset with us.
Yeah.
All three of us. People are upset with us.
Why?
Over our hockey conversation.
What do you mean?
People on social media, we're dismissive of the Flyers.
Oh, the world's upset with us.
They're all upset with us.
There was an article.
Dismissive?
Yeah, we're dismissive.
Why did I say it was dismissive? It's a matter of fact. It's just, why do Flyer fans struggle with the fact that, I kind of make up the rules. It just is what it is. The Flyers, they're the fourth pie slice.
I'll get you to say it out loud. If the Flyers next season make a bunch of moves and are in the mix and for the Stanley Cup next year, let's just hypothetically, we would talk about hockey more than we do now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
But still, we would talk about more about hockey, but they'd still be down on the pecking order. It's a fact. It's like it's any niche that you like. I tried to bring up the example yesterday. I like alt music. The majority of people don't like alt music. So that's my own little thing, and I don't care if the majority doesn't like it. I like it. So I hold it close to me. You know, that's why if Flyer fans had that attitude, we wouldn't have this constant consternation. Yeah, I understand. And I know it's not the most talked about sport, but I really like it, so I'm going to embrace it. And I'm not going to get mad at anybody else if they don't want to talk about it. Well, I don't understand why that's so difficult.
But you said the important part, so mm-hmm. We're good. If they're more competitive, we'll talk about
it. Well, of course they are. Mm-hmm. If they're more competitive, we're going to talk about it. But if they're more competitive now, with what's going on with the Sixers, would the Sixers still get top priority?
Well yeah.
They would.
Yeah.
So that means they can never win.
But
the Flyers can never win. I'm sorry, they can never win. With the Eagles and the Sixers in this town, the Flyers can only hope to be third.
Okay.
Am I saying anything that's abusive?
No, but I just want to make it clear.
It's a matter of fact, it's radio experience.
That if they get more competitive, we will talk about them more. I didn't say a lot.
Of course.
More. Right. Now they can't say they hate. We hate. That's all. We cover. We don't hate
about yesterday. I tried to put everything in perspective. There was no hate.
Well,
it's just perspective.
Well, people's perspective is that it's hate.
Well, you know what it is? Because it's people that you think you're criticizing their family.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's their family. It belongs to them. So when you criticize in any form, they're going to get angry at it because you're criticizing their family. But if it's a small family and there are larger families out there, you know, that's all I'm saying. Let's take a break. We'll come back 4 o'clock hours ahead of us. We'll talk to Rich Hoffman from The Athletic. We covered the Sixers. See what the reaction is nationally from Rich at 4 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.